Welcome back. Now we have Joe joining us. Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Very good. How are you?
I'm okay. Another day, another dollar. I forgot it was July 4th yesterday. I did. I was emailing people like it was nothing.
Well, aren't you Canadian?
Yeah, I am, but it was just, I just forget. I usually remember. I have it in my phone, and usually I'm not, but I kept on getting responses out of the office till because of July 4th. Whoop. Getting old.
So I think you can be excused then, since that's the case. So.
Yeah. So what do you got for us today?
So before we do the top three, there are two quick things I wanted to bring up. First is there's a new study out. It's a new academic study. And what they did was that they took a bunch of people into the lab. It sounds conspiratorial already. And they showed them episodes of the X-Files. And what they wanted to see was if watching the X-Files made people more conspiratorial in their thought or not. And do you think it did?
Yes.
Well, no, it didn't.
Oh. In fact,
they found the opposite. It had no effect on whether they were, you know, quote-unquote conspiracy theorists or not. But what they did find was that the people who were already conspiracy theorists were the ones who enjoyed it the most. And the reason why conspiracy theorists enjoy it is because they think that the plots of the show are more likely to be true.
Right. Yeah, it kind of reinforces their belief.
So it does make me nervous because I watch a lot of X-Files. And I like to say I enjoy it quite a bit too. But I don't think most of the stuff there is true because some of the alien plots are rather intricate. And I'm not sure that stuff is true. And a lot of the monsters on there I don't think are real either. So I'm doing some self-questioning right now.
Well, yeah. What would you be like if you didn't watch The X-Files?
Boring, I guess. But I guess I tell people now I do it for work.
Ah, good excuse.
So, and you sort of have to watch it, particularly on the weekends, because there isn't much on and the BBC America channel is showing it 12 hours a day. So.
Oh, they're getting into it.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
So moving on, July 4th, we just celebrated the United States independence from the crown. And one quick thing I do want to point out is that the Declaration of Independence is one of the most, particularly the first few paragraphs, one of the most beautiful political documents ever written. Talks about really important things like natural rights and how governments get their consent to govern from the people. So these are really big ideas that inform us to this day. But if you scroll down a little bit to the fine print, what you find on the back end of the Declaration of Independence is a bunch of crazy conspiracy stuff about the king, most of which was completely not true. And part of the reason why it's there is that one, Thomas Jefferson, who did the original draft, he put it in there, and he actually put a lot more conspiracy theories about the king in. But Ben Franklin and the others edited it and took most of the more crazy stuff out. But they were trying to gin up the revolution, so conspiracy theories made a good reason for separating from the king and made a good reason to fight back against, you know, what was then the most powerful army in the world. So, you know, generally we think of conspiracy theories as bad things, but in this case, I think that, you know, the eventual results were rather happy. So, happy Independence Day.
Yeah, I guess. I wonder what they were. What did the king get accused of, or do we know?
So he wanted to set up a tyranny and rule the colonies with pure tyranny, and there was no evidence that that was going to be the case. So,
yeah.
I mean, he wanted to collect a very small tax to pay for a war, which he was fighting for us. So, you know, he wasn't being unreasonable or unfair. But it was the case that the colonies did have a point. They didn't have very good representation in the British Parliament, so they felt like, you know, we're sort of being ruled by some outside government and by a king, no less. So.
Yeah. Be better if it was a queen.
Yeah, I mean, there were practical grievances, you know, and I think that led to some really good political thought and to some really good political innovation at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, it all turned out.
It turned out good.
Wow. So any big conspiracies happen over the last week?
Yeah, so I got a top three for the week. So with the theme that conspiracy theories are for losers, the big soccer game this week, or football as they call it everywhere else, in the World Cup was Colombia versus England. And it came down to a few, I guess what I would call foul calls, but I don't know the right terminology in soccer.
Right.
But England won at the very end with some penalty kicks, and Colombia was very upset about it. And I think both the coach and the captain have put forward some conspiracy theories about the referee and how the referee was picked. Because the referee was an American, and they believe that he was picked specifically to be biased in favor of the British. But I don't think that would be the case, because the game was July, right before July 4th, so you think the American would be very anti-British.
Yeah. Well, and the way things are now, too, you never know. But, oh, yeah, whatever. I mean, but it's not the World Cup. It's not the final, so.
It's not the final, but I think Colombia is knocked out, so they're upset. So.
Yeah. Well, what can you do?
So that was number three. Number two, moving right along, Alex Jones, and we should not be shocked that he's sharing a conspiracy theory. That's what he does. But one that's made the rounds on the internet this week and has sort of caught fire, mostly with people making fun of it, is Alex Jones says that Trump is going to be removed by a civil war brought on by the left, who are anti-Trump. And people are making fun of him for saying this.
Okay, then. you know, the left is kind of weak right now.
Well, the thing is, they're weak, but they're also very angry, and yeah. They're very upset. And Trump has done his part to sort of gin up people on the right. And instead of feeling comfortable in the fact that they now control the White House, the Senate, the House and the Supreme Court, he has them on edge with all the conspiracy theories he's pushing. So it's created this thing where nobody trusts anybody, and we all think the other side is out to attack us, no matter what. So,
well, you know, when I start to see left groups actually do something violent, I don't believe it.
Hmm. Well, they do on occasion, but not in sort of civil war taking over the country or seceding from the Union. You know, you see, you see riots in Oakland.
Yeah, well, like well, there you go. Yeah, I like to see it. There's another thing is there's no real unity in the left.
Yeah, you have different wings. You have a moderate wing that wants to win, and you have a very progressive wing that's delusional into thinking it can win by going full out socialist.
Yeah.
And that's just not going to work. So.
No, you'll never do it. And so until they get the unity, it's, I don't know. It's, there seemed to be more unity in the left in the 60s and 70s, than there is now.
Maybe.
I
mean, I don't think there's ever true unity. I mean, you have two big parties in the country, right?
Yeah.
And so there's a wide range of different views that people have, and those views don't always go together, but you essentially have two choices of major party. You know, it's sort of like my preferences for soda are all over the place, but you really have, you know, you're only going to get Pepsi or Coke when you go anywhere.
Yeah.
So you sort of have to pick one or the other and, you know, like it a little bit, but dislike it a lot more. Is what you're left with. And so we shouldn't be shocked that there's always going to be some dissension.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you go back to 68. I mean, there was a riot at the Democratic Convention in the 70s. I mean, at the end of the 70s, the Democrats didn't like Carter very much. There was a lot of angst there. I mean, there's always factions coming apart because it's tough to sort of keep that many people united behind anything.
Yeah, it doesn't last long.
And it's probably good. I mean, you don't want everybody thinking the same thing. You want a range of opinion. That way you have to negotiate.
Well, there you have it.
So, number two, Alex Jones, and number three, number one, our number one for the week, making its way on the internet, has to do with superstar celebrity Anne Hathaway. And the conspiracy theory is one involving time travel. And people say that her husband, Adam Shulman, looks exactly like William Shakespeare. So if you go back and you look up paintings of William Shakespeare, they look exactly like Anne Hathaway's husband, Adam Shulman. And Shakespeare was married to a woman, get this, named Anne Hathaway. So people are saying that they might be time travelers. So that's our number one for the week.
Wow, that's exciting.
So we've got soccer games, impending civil war, and time traveling actresses.
Wow. I there's nothing more I can say. I just you know, I'm going to be mesmerized all week.
Well, happy 4th of July.
Well, thank you. Happy 4th back. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks, I guess, next.
Yeah, so I am actually heading over to England, and I will be actually going to some shows at the Shakespeare Theatre in London, and I'm going to get to the bottom of this time travel thing.
Well, you let us know.